Hi, this is Mike Clark with Christmas Music 24/7, and I'm talking with Elizabeth Schmeidler. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, Mike. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. I'm just tickled that you've got me on the line.
Sure. Not a problem at all. Well, you sent me your CD, Take Me Back to Bethlehem, and I really enjoyed listening to it. You emailed me a couple files, and I listened to those, and then when you sent me the whole CD, I went ahead and put it up on the station.
That's great. Thank you.
Actually, I think that was just like yesterday morning or this morning.
Yeah, I was just really thrilled to get the email. It's just so nice to see somebody appreciate what you felt in your heart was something good. And it's just a real blessing to have you give me a call and want to talk to me and hear all about how it started. So, how
did you start doing music? Are you a professional musician or did you train? Or
no, you know, I guess you could say that I'm kind of the opposite of what the normal storyline would be for the musician, where they've been growing up being in every play and singing at church and things like that. I really didn't have any intention of doing any of that. Even though I liked music, I loved music as a little kid, I kind of went through a stage where I lost all confidence in myself and just decided that the best thing in the whole world would be to be a wife and mother. And it really is the best thing in the world. But as far as doing the music thing, that all came in my mid-30s, believe it or not. I'm a very late bloomer. I was actually just sitting at Mass one day, and up walked our organist at our church, and he asked me to sing, and I thought he had lost his mind, because I thought, you don't know me very well, do you? I don't do anything in public.
Mm-hmm.
But he was determined that he had heard me sing, and several people had mentioned that I could sing. So to make a long story short, I prayed and prayed and prayed, and I prayed and prayed and prayed some more, because I was scared to death.
Yeah.
And but I did it. I got up in front of the church and then thought, well, boy, God has blessed me with the biggest blessing to get over that kind of fear. And I thought that was about it. But as time went on, things just kept evolving between my writing of poetry and my children's stories and my novels. I thought I'd have the greatest possible outcome I could ever have, because I was a wife and mother and now getting to sing, and what a great blessing. And then it all just kept evolving.
Right.
One day when I was kind of pondering my son, he's my youngest one, is a real musical, almost, I don't want to call him genius, but boy, he's talented. He can just pick up, he's got perfect pitch, and he's picking up all these different songs just from ear on the piano. And I was sitting there thinking, you know, wow, he really has gotten a gift from, I knew it was from God, but I thought, why don't I really know who in my background besides my dad sang? I mean, this has got to be, you know, from somewhere. And I was just sitting around playing on the piano. I don't have formal training on the piano either. About 5 months in the eighth grade is all I have. And I quit. Reading notes didn't come easy for me, so I really don't ever just pick up a piece and play it. I just kind of, you know, twinkle around on it.
Okay.
And as I'm pondering my son's gift of music, I start, you know, touching the keys with my right hand, and before I knew it, the left hand was following. And I can't explain it other than that in my heart and in my mind, it's a miracle, because I really don't know how in the world I have written some 40 plus songs now, the music and the words. And
yeah,
it's just, for me, it's like a blatant miracle, because I don't really know how it happens. I just hear it in my head and it comes out.
Right.
And sometimes while I'm writing the music, the words just flow so perfectly that I have to cry afterwards, because
right.
I know that something bigger has happened than I had ever imagined.
Right. Tell me a little bit about Take Me Back to Bethlehem. It's a very neat title.
Okay. Well, you know, as I don't know how many people, I'm sure you talk to a lot of artists that they'll tell you that, you know, behind a lot of the stuff they do, there's a story, and Take Me Back to Bethlehem is no different. Everything that I've ever written has been inspired by something that's been close to me, you know, or a family member, or an emotion I've gone through. Well, it was Christmas before last. You know, the Christmas season is supposed to be, according to the Norman Rockwell pictures and the, you know, the commercials, and it's roasting toast, and you're drinking coffee, and everything's beautiful, and the tree's beautiful. But in reality, for people, we're getting so busy and we're getting so frazzled, and the times are so hectic that it's just like the biggest coup in my mind that the devil can pull off is to make us so busy and so stressed out that we totally forget the peace that God wanted us to have at this time of the year, and that to take this time to realize how good he is to us by even sending his son. Well, one day I come home and I really had, the Christmas tree had just gotten done, but the house was a mess and I had packages to wrap and we had several functions to go to. And it was I had left early and then came home and it was my morning prayer time. And as I was on my knees, I just took a deep breath and I said, you know, God, I know this is not what you intended. And I just said, take me back to Bethlehem. As soon as I prayed those words, the rest of the words came in. I mean, it was just like I really could envision. It was like, I'm not trying to act like a whack and say that, hey, I traveled back.
Right.
Traveled back in time and there I was. But in my heart and in my spirit, I felt that peace that was the only thing that really mattered in the end, was knowing that God is good and that he sent his son so that we could be saved, and that the peace he wanted to give us was there for my taking. I just had to stay focused on what the real reason for the season was, and that was him.
Right.
So I went over to my computer and typed the words as quick as my little brain could process them, then went over to the piano, and it was, again, one of those times where I honestly, Pete, don't know how it happens, but the piano music came out, and I was just tickled to death because I had I was already so blessed to have done two albums. I thought, boy, surely this is all going to dry up now because, you know, I've got this on my plate, but it didn't. And I figured if God gave me the music, it must be for a reason. So I contacted a studio here with a guy that I really admire, and he agreed to record my Christmas album, and so it all just happened.
How long did it take to do all the recording?
You know, we had to do it on and off because he has a different business. He's an engineer. He's a very brilliant man. But I'd say almost the full year.
Yeah.
You know, in fact, we got it released kind of late to really introduce it last Christmas very much. So. But I always keep thinking, you know, everything is in God's timing and it happens for a purpose in that space and time. So, but it takes a little longer than people think. Not that we had to do very many takes, but by the time, you know, you want to get all the mix right, you want to get my piano tracks down. Like I said, I'm not the greatest pianist in the world, so sometimes we would have to do those over and over because I have no way of to look at music to read it because it's in my head. So I have to remember all these songs, and once I've got a backlog of songs that I've written, I have to remember what I did with each one. So I'm always real tickled once I get them down and into a computer so that my brain can rest on that song.
Right.
Because it's real hard sometimes to remember all that many songs. And I have a whole other album in my head right now that I'm hoping to get recorded.
Oh, okay. Great.
Yeah. That's kind of, it takes a little longer because then once the piano tracks go in, then he adds different instrumentation and we do the vocals, and then we do the backup vocals. I do it all my own backup vocals and harmony, and that is so fun.
Yeah.
To be able to sing with yourself. You know, it's a little bit easier, actually, because I know exactly what I'm going to breathe, and it's not like trying to second-guess another person's brain because I was the one who sang the first part. So.
Right.
Anyway, it's just been a joy.
That's neat. The CD has 11 songs on it, and the last one isn't a Christmas song.
No,
My Mother's Hands. So tell me about that.
You know, My Mother's Hands is just one of the... It's a very, very special song. I had started singing funerals after I started singing it at church, and it seemed like whenever there was a mother who had passed away, it would always get requested when I sang. And it got to be to where the people were requesting me for the funerals and requesting that song be sang. And so much so that people started saying, are you ever going to record that? Well, it wasn't my song. It was this Deanna Edwards was the author of that one, and I had went ahead and tried several times to contact her to ask her, you know, whether I could record it or not, and I never could get through to her. And finally, one time I did, she called me back. She's just a delightful lady, and she gave me permission to record it. And I thought, well, you know, I'm going to do that one of these days on my next CD, but here I had this Christmas layout. Well, right before we were closing it out, what, you know, the songs we were going to have, I sang at another funeral, and I had another person email me from another state that said, you sang for my mother's funeral. And so, make a long story short, I just had so many requests, and I thought, well, wait a minute. Christmas time is really basically focused on family. At the head of every family, of course, is the father, but the mother is so, she does so many things. Well, and mother Mary's role was huge, of course.
Right.
And I thought, so many people at Christmas, because, you know, the father's usually, traditionally in the past at least, has been out working and stuff, and there's a lot of things that the mom has, even if she's a working mom now, a lot of duties that the mother does at Christmas, you know, the baking of the cookies mm-hmm. and the tree and things like that. Well, I figured, you know, what a better tribute to mothers than to go ahead and put that on the Christmas CD. Hopefully, for the people who are struggling with the death of their mother passing, it would be a comfort and a healing to them to hear about the very last words are, I know God will be guiding, holding her hands, and she, like, basically guiding her home.
Right.
So I was hoping that that would be a form of healing for those people at Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
So I just felt like it was one of those things meant to be. And
right.
like I said, then I finally got a hold of Deanna, and she gave me the okay, and it rolled.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I've got a thing called the 12 Questions of Christmas. I'm going to ask you 12 different things and just say the first response that comes to your mind, okay?
Oh, my. Okay.
Okay, a Christmas tree, real or artificial?
Artificial.
Put the tree up before or after Thanksgiving?
Before, if I can. Love it.
Open gifts on Christmas Eve or Christmas morning?
Christmas morning.
Instrumental or vocals?
Vocals.
Traditional or contemporary music?
Traditional.
What goes on top of the tree, a star or an angel?
Angel.
Rudolph or Frosty?
Rudolph.
Fudge or fruitcake?
Fudge, of course.
Classical or jazz?
Jazz.
Do you take the Christmas tree down before, on, or after New Year's?
Oh, way after. That's the Epiphany.
Night Before Christmas or Luke Chapter 2?
Luke Chapter 2.
And M&M's, plain or peanut?
Peanut.
Okay, that's the 12 questions of Christmas.
Those are awesome.
Do you have a website that we can send people to? Or just the CD Baby site?
No, I don't, because I had one, and then I wanted to revamp it, and it's down. But I'm in the process of getting another one. But if anybody wants to reach me, they can use my address of cdmusic@eaglecom.net.
Okay, go ahead and say that one more time.
It's cdmusic. Mm-hmm. At eagle, like the bird, com.net.
Okay, that's great. Was there anything else you'd like to share?
I want to tell people that you need to really believe and understand that God has a plan and purpose for everyone. And even if you find yourself in a position where you're doing something that's very mundane or doesn't seem particularly wonderful, Everything has a purpose, and everybody has a purpose. And just don't be surprised at how important the tasks that you have done in your life become in the scheme of things to God. And I just don't want people to become discouraged if they don't have CDs on the horizon or books in the making or things like that, because I have found that some of the most worthwhile and beautiful people are the ones who are behind the scenes and just doing their job and doing it well. And I just wish everybody a very blessed and Merry Christmas, and hope that they keep their eyes and their hearts on the Savior so that we can have a happy and peaceful world.
Yes, wonderful.
All right. You take care, Michael.
Thanks,
good
you too, Elizabeth.
You.
Good talking with you.
Have a great Christmas.
Thanks, you too.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.